Muhammad's not it. Trump's not it. Obama's not it. Confucius not it. Buddha not it. Jesus. It's the only name by which men can be saved. Hallelujah. You know, that's the only name they care about cutting out. They don't care about the others. You can talk about Buddha all day long. You can talk about Muhammad all day long. Now, don't talk about Muhammad in a bad way, because then somebody will threaten to kill you. Okay? But you can talk about, you stir up all their stuff all day long. Confucius? But you talk about Jesus. See, it's a hard concept for mankind to grasp that somebody would love us enough to come and give their life for us, to give us freedom. Folks, sometimes all you got to do is follow the opposition. You'll see where God's moving. The devil moved to strike Jesus from the face of the earth when he was a baby. And now he's moving to strike Jesus' name from the earth. He tried it with the disciples, and they bring him and say, "No, you can preach." See, they didn't mind the message. It was preaching in the name of Jesus that they minded. You can continue to preach, just don't mention Jesus. They didn't want that name. I need you to understand something, folks. The name of Jesus is so powerful. It makes people cringe. Oh, there you go, talking about Jesus again. Well, of course we're going to talk about Jesus. You want to know why I'm not running around banging my head against the wall? It's because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. God gave me the ability through what Jesus did to live a victorious life, to overcome the depression, to overcome the oppression, to overcome any eschen. Okay? I don't care what's coming against you. That's what the name of Jesus does. Hallelujah. Man, we get hold of that, folks. We're going to be seeing things happen. I was telling Phil yesterday, I'm telling you, just hold on. We're going to see such a move of God. I don't think it's going to be as everybody's imagining it's going to be. The Jews, when they were expecting a king to return, you know what they were expecting? A king coming in with an army to kick Rome out of Jerusalem. And you know what God sent? A baby. A little itty bitty baby. That's what God sent. He didn't send them the great revival they thought they were going to get. He sent something that stirred up. I mean, think about Simeon, the old man at the temple. God said, "You will not die until you see him." And then Mary brings him brings Jesus into the temple to be dedicated. And he goes running over. He blesses the child and he says, "Now I can die, for I have seen the promise of God." Folks, we're in for such a great, great time with God. I know, well, Pastor, I don't know. You know, we're what the world's going through, you know, listen, it ain't about what the world's going through. It's about what we're believing and standing in. I've told Phil this yesterday, and I firmly believe it. I believe the body of Christ in the United States is the covering for the United States. That's our purpose as far as being together as a unit. We love God, but we know not everybody in our government loves God. Not everybody in our county loves God. If they did, there's 36,000 people in this county. There wouldn't be enough room in the churches today, in all the churches, and I think there's about 90 that advertise in the Sentinel. There's not enough room in all of them. We got some work to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You sit on the throne and you rule with justice. You rule with might. Father, and that there's nothing that is being done under heaven that you do not see. There's no injustice being performed that you will not bring about justice. Father, we thank you and praise you for your promises in your word, that if we give you our tithe, the whole tithe, Father, that you would pour out blessing in our lives, Father. As I have testimony of many standing here today, of what your faithfulness will do. Father, I thank you and praise you for this. I receive it now on your behalf, and I bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Well, if you did not remember, today we do have war on the floor as well. So if you have a prayer request, get it filled out. Get it to an usher and they'll get it to me. Some of you may have already put them in the offering container. They'll get them to me. We dedicate this day to pray for those, to pick up the burdens of our brothers and sisters. And you know what I really love the most? I mean, don't be afraid to put something in there for yourself, okay? But what I've noticed, the vast majority of the prayer requests are actually people praying for somebody else is on their heart. Listen, I can stand up right here and tell you right now, there's probably not a one of you that ain't got some sort of drama going on in your life that needs some prayer. But that's probably not what you put on the thing. Because when we trust God and we pray for other people, God moves on our behalf. We don't have to sit and, oh, God, did you forget about me? God hasn't forgot about you one bit. The problem sometimes I think, and I know in my life, I let my problems get bigger than God. God's pretty big. But I let my problems stand up and shout and say, well, instead of saying, well, back down, Jack. I have to remind myself who I am. You know, David was not a big man. They figure he's about 5'6". So he's maybe about my height. I'm hair taller. I'm just a little bit taller than that. I got to make sure you know that. I'm actually average, though. But so David would have been maybe about my height. About my size. Maybe a little skinnier because he was just a teen. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, when I was 17, I was 70 pounds lighter. I'm not really huge, but I am wearing a little bigger clothes than I used to. And in all of that, David went up against this warrior. Okay, David's killed a bear. He's killed a lion. And quite bravely, too. I mean, he said he took the lion by the beard. That means you're on the business end of the lion. That don't mean you grabbed a tiger by the tail and you're holding on. He went to the other end. He grabbed that thing by its beard just right there. And he killed it. And when he stood before Goliath, he did not let his size difference matter. All David did is he went up there, and I mean, there's this giant of a man, anywhere from 9 to 14 feet tall. They have no idea. I saw a picture last night somebody put on Facebook with my cousin. Since we found out our family's actually descended from Vikings, he's just all this Valhalla crap and, you know, and all this stuff, Viking this, Viking that. But there was a 7'7" Viking. This is the tallest Viking ever known to man. And I thought, 7'7", you might be one of the tallest men I've ever seen. Shaquille O'Neal's 7'3". He's this much taller. And he had a broadsword. The thing was this long. And he looked like a massive man, and it was taken when there was a picture that could be taken, so it's not that old. 7'7", and there's a normal-sized man standing next to him, and he dwarfs him. Like I said, the sword was about as tall as the man standing next to him. This is what David would have been looking at, except Goliath was a veteran. He knew how to fight. David didn't know how to fight. Even when Saul said, here, let me give you my armor, David said, I've never practiced with that. And if you've never practiced with body armor on, there's a big difference. You know, that was one of the first things. You know, I knew how to swim when I went to boot camp. I could swim, okay? But there was a big difference in what I could swim and what they wanted me to do. What they did is they threw a 25-pound flak jacket on me, a helmet, made me keep my boots on, threw a pack on, and a rifle, and said, now jump off the diving board. I did. And you go down to the bottom real quick. I had to learn how to swim with that stupid armor on. But it was there to protect me. The only thing I kept thinking is if I could just get rid of this flak jacket, get this helmet. Because, you know, when you catch the water with your helmet, people don't think about this. He goes, whoop. You know, you look like one of those African tribes where they put the bracelets in their necks. You're like, you're trying not to drown, but your neck is being separated from your body. David did not ever try the stuff on. He didn't know how to work with it. And not only that, it was probably too big because Saul was giving him his armor. Remember what we've learned about Saul. He was head and shoulders above everybody. Saul was well over 6 foot tall. That's your biblical description of him. Except when they went to coronate him, they had to drag him out from underneath the bed. That should have been the character of the man showing through right there. Just because he's a big man don't mean he's God's choice. God chose the little guy who was out with the sheep, not the guy who had to be drug out by the ankles. So David's standing there, and while the giant is screaming all of his slurs about what he's going to do to him, I'm going to feed you to the dogs, and all this, and David said, oh, no, 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 no. You come against me with this, you come against me with that, but I come against you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel. What he did right there, folks, is he pointed out to the fact that you're big. My God is bigger. And I will rely upon my God. And I will feed your flesh, your carcass, to the scavengers. Pretty much you can just imagine Goliath up there just getting insolent now. Oh, you just did not, you little twerp. I'm just going to come over and I'm going to pound you. And all David's doing, he's standing over, got his slingshot going around and around and around. Whoo! And he went charging. Remember that. He charged his enemy. He charged the thing that was standing up in front of him. And he hit him the only place you could have hit a man who's covered in body armor. Right between the eyes. Did it kill him instantly? We don't know. But here's my personal belief on that rock. Is that when David released that rock, I've been hit in the head with rocks before. Either from a lawnmower or somebody throwing them off the top of the hill at me. They hurt, and it's going to take a big rock to kill you. But I believe when David released that, the power of the Holy Spirit went with that rock. And it traveled with the velocity of an M16. 3,500 feet per second. Per second. Boom, that thing's already gone almost over half a mile. I believe that's what happened with that rock. And it went in and it crushed his skull. David walked up, maybe he just kept on running, I don't know. And your adrenaline gets built up and you're like, woo, gonna keep going. The fact that he hit a target while he was running is a miracle in and of itself. My brother and I used to have slingshot wars. Green apples and pine cones. The pine cones weren't opened yet, so they points and they were hard. We'd have to stop in order to shoot, because otherwise we're doing this. David hit him while running, then ran up and took a sword that was probably as tall as he was, lifted it over his head, and decapitated his enemy. Now, folks, things come against us. Today, there's lots of you probably got all kinds of problems facing you. And they're screaming, I want your attention. I need your attention. You will listen to me. Well, David heard. That's how I'm going to put this. David heard what Goliath said, but David did not listen to what Goliath said. He did not take what Goliath said to heart. All he remembered was, I'm the one that killed the lion by the beard. I'm the one that killed the bear. Now listen, I understand that the Asian lions are a little smaller than the African. African lions, they're the big ones we see in the zoos and, you know, the pit posters and all that. They're big. The Asian lions were usually considered a little bit smaller. So were their bears. Their bears were probably about the size of our black bears. Point, Our black bears can still kill you. And they ain't but 3 feet tall at the shoulder. That's tiny. My dad tells a story of living in West Virginia, and my uncle went picking blackberries one day. And he wasn't paying attention. Now, personally, I'd have been more concerned about the copperheads, but hey, he was just doing his thing, and he jumped into this patch of blackberries. He's just picking away, and then he just took another step forward, and there was a black bear. Well, they never heard him scream so loud and run so fast. And he never went blackberry picking again, to my knowledge. But today, folks, we have problems facing us with our government. That's why I told you, I'm tired of all the garbage that the news is bringing about. God is in control of this thing. Christians today, I'm afraid, are letting what's going on in Washington, D.C. It's been going on for years. Let's not get bent out of shape about it. Let's keep our focus as believers on God, on what we're supposed to be doing as believers. Okay? And as we think about these things, I want to open your Bibles here this morning in a minute. We're going to go to 1 Kings. We're going to talk about somebody else who had a problem. But here's, I think, kind of a reason we have. Today, I'm going to call this message Getting Comfortable with Discomfort. And I'm not talking about getting out just out of your comfort zone. I'm talking about when you get comfortable being uncomfortable. You're okay with it. I told you before, there are people, it's like, why don't they go, why don't they seek help? Why don't they get delivered? Why don't they learn about what they're going through? They will lose the attention. They love the attention. Oh, but I don't love it. Yes, you do. You love the attention being on you. You will no longer feel special if you don't have your problem. We get comfortable with our discomfort. 1 Kings, chapter 17. Grab all my stuff. I'm not even certain which. Yep, there it is. Oh, there it is. Okay, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this is Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. First off, God already commanded the widow to do it. Now you need to understand, Elijah has declared a drought. When there's a drought, there's no food. And God did this to get these rulers' attention. Okay? It wasn't to punish people. It was to get their attention that he is God, not them. I believe some of the stuff that goes on in this world is trying to get our attention to say, I'm your provider. I'm your God. Not your government. Not your boss. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives. That's important to understand. As the Lord your God. This, where she was at, was in Phoenicia, not Israel. She did not know God. When I say no, I mean the intimate. She knew of God. A lot of people know of God. Oh yeah, I believe in God. Well, yes, so what? I believe in the devil, but I don't serve him. Do you believe God? Don't believe in God, believe God. If I believe God, then I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to start changing. See, we're still missing the change part today. It's been happening for the last, I'd say, 20 years. We forgot about change. There's grace. And that's God's grace to give you power to change. I don't want to get saved to be the same. Neither do I want to be self-righteous. And that's not what being a Christian is about. It's not about us being self-righteous. Verse 12. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. What has she done? She got comfortable with the discomfort. She gave up. That's what happens. You give up. There's no way out. You can ask my wife, and I don't know why I've been like this, but I know I've just seen God move time and time again. When life comes unglued, I don't just stop. I live by a self-proclaimed motto. See, my nickname in the Marine Corps was Woody. And anytime anybody had something difficult to do, they would come and say, man, can we do this? And I started saying, where there's a Woody, there's a way. And I've passed that on to my sons because they've all adopted the nickname as well. So now if we're at a meet or something, somebody says, Woody, I have to stop. And they're not talking to you. But it's not because of how great I am. It's because somewhere along the line, I started believing God and realizing, okay, God's going to, first off, work through me. Not every day are you going to get up and suddenly, woo, there's a portal to another dimension and a miracle is on the other side of it. Sometimes you got to work through it. Sometimes you got to do something. That's what most people don't want. They just think that they can blab it and grab it and forget that, okay, it wasn't always like this. There are times where you speak and things happen. Then there are times where you speak and it's like, okay, what do I got to do? What have I got to do? What have I got to do to position myself? Now, this woman had become comfortable with the idea of dying. She was good to go with it. I'm like, man, I would have moved on. I would have found food somewhere else. Gone to someplace where the drought wasn't happening. That's my thinking, okay? But hers was, I give up. We're done. But now we got to remember what God told Elijah. He said, I have already commanded a widow there to take care of you. Now, whether God came down and spoke directly into her, we don't know. Like I said, she didn't know God. Or else she would have said, the Lord my God. She said, the Lord, your God. But she knew God. They all knew about God. Trust me, in that region, they had all heard about what God did through Joshua and through the prophets. And they were coming up. And what God did through David and Solomon. But now here's Elijah. New kind of prophet on the thing. He's telling them to repent. That's why the Bible is telling us that before Jesus returns, the prophet Elijah will return. The spirit of repentance. To get those who follow Christ. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if every person in the United States who professes to know God would repent, there would be such a revival. We would not have the corruption in Washington, D.C., we would not have the corruption in our state capitals, in our county capitals, in our judges. We would not have any of it. So she had become comfortable with being discomfort and said, well, I give up. But Elijah said, well, you go do it as you said, but first bring me a morsel. Now that sounds awful arrogant, doesn't it? You know, today we look, you know, if a preacher says, sow the seed. Well, pastor, it's my last $10. Is that $10 going to pay your bills? Well, no. Then what do you have? What do you have in your hand? You have a seed. Okay, I know it sounds cruel. I know it sounds harsh. God has done it to me. I had to sell a car one time. It was my first hot rod car. Angela called it my redneck car. It was an 82 Firebird, kind of jacked up, had the black louvers, tinted windows, wheels stuck out the back. That was my redneck car. But I took a seed. I took I made a commitment to sow a seed beyond what I was capable of. And I sold that car. We cashed in some savings bonds. And we paid that seed. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, God moved through that seed, through the faithfulness.
lost in love for you at all. But if your eyes could see how much you mean to me, you'd take my hand, my love would set you free. It's another heartache, and it's another day. Didn't watch your life pass you by like a cold Wednesday. You take a look around you. You see the fragments of your broken dreams, but we pick up the pieces and we carry on. But if your eyes could see how much you mean to me, you take my you mean.